Hello again, and welcome to Countdown to Eternity. Whether you've been struggling to get over COVID-19 or you're really upset about the recent election, it's important in uncertain times like these to take a step back and regain some perspective and receive some encouragement and hope as well. And that's what we aim to do today as we welcome back Don Stewart. Here he is with James Cadiz as together we count down to eternity.
Well, hello again, my dear brothers and sisters. I want to thank you for joining us for another episode of Countdown to Eternity. And oh my goodness, we have got a great one planned for you, because guess what? I have got the great Don Stewart back here with me. I'm so excited and thrilled, looking forward to hearing from him. And I know you guys are too. So Don, great to have you back, bro.
It is so nice to be back with you, James, with all the people. I wonder if I ever was going to get here, but I'm finally here after 48 days.
Oh, bro. So listen, I know there's a lot going on in the news right now. There's a lot of crazy stuff, but I don't think anybody's really interested in that now that you're here, at least not right now for the next few minutes. So take a moment, bro, to tell us everything that happened. Tell us the story and tell us of God's just amazing, great, miraculous hand in your life and sparing you. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, and it is a great story, actually. It's December 2nd. I had done a program on his channel. It was a Wednesday in the afternoon. All of a sudden, I basically started losing all my strength. I didn't know what was going on. And obviously, it was the COVID-19. I didn't know that right away. I finally went to the ER. They gave me some medication, this and that. I did some x-rays of the chest and came home, taking some stuff. But then it was just getting so bad. My wife called. It's funny because the doctor called and wondered how I'm doing. And she said, not well at all. We'll bring him back. Well, this was providential that he called at that time, because I didn't want to go back. My wife insisted I go back. If I didn't go back, James, I probably wouldn't be alive right now. That's how bad it was. They got back in the ER. They took another x-ray of my chest. It had gotten worse in the last 5 days since I was there the last time. They admitted me to the hospital. I was there 4 full days on remdesivir, this and that, on oxygen, the whole 6 liters that they can give you, the most there, because I want my blood oxygen level just wasn't there. And what's interesting, it wasn't until afterwards, after a couple of days after I was discharged, when we were reading the notes, how bad it was. And basically, to put it mildly, I had 1 foot in the grave, and the other on the banana peel. I mean, it was that bad. I was really, really that close to dying. I didn't realize that at the time. But the Lord has spared me, thank him for that. And because of that, it's got me thinking about a lot of things, obviously, about life, the ministry, and the such like. But the great thing about it is that, you know, it's been 48 days. Today's day 48. And my voice just has finally, it's not perfect, but it's come back to some degree. If those who haven't had COVID, those who have will understand what I'm saying. The COVID fatigue is incredible. It's like you have no strength whatsoever. Had all kinds of issues there with basically it was the fatigue. Didn't have a fever, didn't have a lot of things some people have. I lost my taste for a bit. But the bottom line is I'm back and I'm really excited about being back. I missed it so much, but I wasn't lazy, James. I finished 2 books during the time I was flat on my back, you know, with no voice. I couldn't talk, but at least I could write. So I finished 2 good books. And then the main thing too, which we've talked about, I decided to change the thrust of the ministry. I'm no longer doing his channel, Breaking News. I have a new computer, a new iPad, which I'm going to be doing videos every day. They're going to be on educatingourworld.com and also on our Facebook page, educatingourworld.com with Don Stewart. And basically, it's not going to be breaking news. It's going to be encouragement. It's going to be showing that the Lord's in control of all things, that God is good, that he's taken over things. And the main thing, too, like I told the people on the video that we have on the website, is that you know, I'm 70 years of age, and I want to produce a number of products that'll last beyond me. And if all I do is the news, I had literally about 10,000 stories I've done over the years, and they're all worthless now because it's old news. So I wanted to do things that basically will have an effect for time and eternity. So that's why I've written these new books. I'm in the process now of recording all the books that I have written. We'll put that on the website. So very, very excited about that. But it's so nice to be able to talk without coughing my head off. Again, this is like the first day in almost 50 days I've been able even to come close to do that. So as soon as I felt better. I said, James, let's get back on the radio and get this show on the road. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Gosh, that's so great. And, you know, we're so blessed to have you back, bro. I know that there's a lot of people that have been asking on a regular basis. And, you know, what I do know is I know that God has been in the middle of keeping you and sustaining you. And it's been a pretty good thing. Well, real quickly, before we go on to some of the daily topics here, why don't we talk about the two new books that you've worked on and what's going on with that? Tell us a little bit about those books.
You're going to love them. One of them is my 25 favorite messages that I give. What I did, I went through all my sermons over the years, and I found the 25 favorite ones from very much different subjects: Christian living, Bible prophecy, the person of Christ, you know, the afterlife. And that has turned out so, so well. I have a message on prayer, on the whole Genesis 22, Abraham and Isaac on Mount Moriah, Joseph, our 25 signs we're near the end, how to live in light of the last days, that sort of thing. So it's a little bit of everything. But that my editor said, this is so good, so very good. So that's done. She's finishing up today, actually, and we'll put it on the website fairly soon. The next one, though, is the one I'm really thrilled about, James, and that is Ancient Mysteries of the Bible Solved, Volume 1. This is one of the best books I've ever written, one of the most powerful, I trust, when people look at it. Here's what it's all about in a nutshell. There are many mysteries that we did not know about the Bible, simply because until 150 years ago, the only information we had about the Old and New Testament was basically from the Bible itself. There were no very few ancient sources we could go to. But with the rise of biblical archaeology, we now find buried cities that are discovered, ancient monuments deciphered, this and that. So what I did, I took 12 mysteries that unbelievers said, you know, the Bible was wrong on, such as the patriarchs, Abraham, Joseph, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, the story of the entering into the promised land, the whole Old Testament history. And I took, you know, Daniel the prophet, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and I went in great detail and showed each of these 12, there is evidence, amazing evidence from secular sources that confirm, in particular when the later ones like Jeremiah, Daniel, Isaiah, Hezekiah, that these were actually historical characters. They did exist at the time the Bible said that they did. We're not talking about mythology. The Bible is 100% correct. They got everything right. The list of the Assyrian kings in right order, everything now, because we've got the Assyrian, you know, from their monuments there, we find out what they said, and it confirms. It's just incredible. I didn't realize that much evidence. But then what I do at the end, I think the most important part, the Bible's got to be more than historically accurate. So what I did, I took three of the authors, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Daniel. I said, look, if they live at the time, they live there at the time the Bible said they did, that the Bible's a supernatural book, because each of them made predictions that were not only fulfilled in their own lifetime, but fulfilled afterwards in history. And so we documented that, and we concluded the Bible is not only 100% accurate in all its historical references, we know now from secular sources how it's verifying one after another, but also it has the ability to predict the future, something that is, you know, only God can do. And so that's how I conclude. So basically, the mysteries have been solved. You know, Moses did exist. Abraham existed. There was writing even before the time of Abraham. Joshua did enter into the promised land and conquered Jericho. David was a king who lived. Solomon had a great kingdom, things like that. So anyway, it was quite a journey doing it. I love doing it. So that one is, that'll be available also soon.
And that book, my goodness, that one sounds super exciting. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me on this. They're all going to be available for free. I mean, Literally, there's no cost. There's nothing attached to that. And I think that that's pretty exciting, because the labor that has gone into these books are pretty insane. I mean, it's pretty incredible. So, all right, Don, well, let's talk about this, bro, because this is the lingering issue. Today is Wednesday. Yeah. It is the day that Joseph R. Biden is being inaugurated. Some of you are listening to this after he's been inaugurated, some of you beforehand. The world is in complete and total disarray. It's completely upside down. I'm just going to throw out a general question with you, bro. What say you about this? I mean, in all honesty, we're in a time and a day right now where there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of people that don't completely understand or know the picture of what's going on. So, what say you with all of this, bro? What would you say?
Yeah, and I'm glad you asked. Here's the thing. Even before the election, I made the point, if Biden somehow wins fairly or unfairly, it was unfairly, that will still go on. God's still in control, you know, and he is. And one of the things that this is where the whole new ministries come into play, James, it's what you do also, is to encourage people saying, look, we're not surprised by any of this, because in the last days, Christians and Jews will be persecuted. They're going to call good evil, evil good, Isaiah chapter 5. They'll, you know, basically, we're finding the scripture, 2 Timothy tells us in chapter 3, they're going to basically promote that which is evil, not that which is good, deny the good and, you know, promote the evil. So we're not surprised by that. So we're living in a whole new world, but we have to adjust to it. But see, and that's particularly here in America, but there are Christians right now, 330 million, James, around the world that don't even have the privileges and the freedom that we have now in America that are going fast by the wayside. But things have changed. We have to understand this. We have a news media that's totally will not tell the truth. If you try and speak up on a certain number of issues, you will get blackballed. You won't be on certain social media. And to a lot of people, it's mind-boggling. I have a doctor friend that says, you know, we really need your message, talking about you and me, James, because he's got so many people, high blood pressure, freaked out about all this, because things like this aren't supposed to happen in America, but they have, you know, and it's mind-boggling what happened. But here's the thing. We got to live what we're in the position we're in. We wish it were different. It's not. But the Lord's still in control, you know. And the thing that, you know, gets me, and we've warned about this before, is the censorship that's gone on. And so we need to find ways to get the gospel out, to tell people still the good news about Jesus as we're allowed, and realize that the Lord is in control. But it's amazing how evil is just coming to the forefront. And so it seems to me that we were thinking, well, maybe we'll get another 4-year reprieve. We have not. That things are spiraling very fast, James, more quickly by the day to the time the Lord will return. So that's kind of the message I'm getting out of this, because it's only going to go downhill from here. But if we know that's what's going to happen, we know we're getting closer to the time of the Lord. So remember what Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, lift up your head and look up, for your redemption draws nigh. So in one sense, it's okay, we're getting the show on the road here. It looks like more quickly, but we'll live where we have to live and do what we have to do.
Well, and I agree with you. And like, this is the time now more than ever that we take this understanding that you just explained. And it's nothing new from anything that we've been saying in the past, but it's time now that we take this and really put the rubber to the road. I mean, if we know what's going to happen, if we've been expecting this, if we know how the game ends, so to speak, if we know what's going to happen, if we know that God has already won the war, if we know about the circumstances behind all of the things in Bible prophecy that are going to appear and the things that we know that are coming forward, then more than ever, it's time for us to not only be encouraged and take courage because we know that our redemption draws nigh, but to continue to be people who will stand up for righteousness. And I could give you a great example of this. We just, and I didn't even get to tell you this, Don, but before we started recording, about an hour before, I had a very long production meeting with some of my technical staff, because we are already making plans to migrate your website and my website and some of the other websites that we have onto sources that are not dependent upon any of the big tech companies. And although most people will not know that we've even made that transfer, it's going to be something that happens kind of invisibly where no one's going to really know about it. We are most definitely doing it because we know for a fact free speech is going to get attacked with censorship, and we know it's going to get attacked hugely. So we know that God has called us to be people who are obligated, solely obligated, right, to not only stand up for what's right, but to understand where we're going with things, right? I mean, the world is near an end, right? And so more than ever, we should be standing up for righteousness. And the one thing we're going to be determined to do, and we are very, very determined to do, is we are not going to allow these evil people to keep the message of the gospel from being communicated. That's why we're looking at migrating your website, all of your information. That's why we're doing it with ours. And that's why we continue to broadcast to not only on the radio, but lots of other sources around the world, basically, because we don't want to squash the voice that we continue to exhibit speaking about the wonderful things that God is doing. We're not going to do that. We're not going to allow that to happen. And
That's so great to hear, James. God bless you for doing that.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, it's interesting. We're getting ready to sign contracts with companies that not only guarantee us they're not going to kick us off, for preaching the gospel, but also do not have dependencies upon Amazon or anybody else like Parler did. So we will not be put in that same position. We're not going to allow that to happen because we know that we're going to be the first people that get attacked. And in the meantime, we need to be fighting back like that. We need to look, we need to build our own alternatives, right? That's what we do. We build, they tear down, but we build. We need to build our own alternatives. And I can promise you this, I'm telling you this, I'm gonna make this prediction. Within the first year, all of these people who are left-leaning, who have voted for those that are left-leaning, they're gonna be sick to their stomach and they're gonna wanna come back to righteous people. And they're gonna want righteous people to have solutions. And it's incumbent upon us that we continue to be ready to give these people who are growing desperate the hope of the gospel and to stand up for things that are right. And that's why we're continuing to full force hit every opportunity that we have. That's why we're encouraging people to run for office, even locally in their city councils, get involved in their PTAs, go to different places and live the life that God has called you to live, and don't be apologetic about doing so. And I think that if it gets to the point where things are so bad that, you know, it's just irreparable and it all blows up and God comes back for us, then we're not going to be caught being lazy or slouching. And if it kind of gets to the point where things begin to change, then praise God, because when the Lord comes back, he will have found us faithful in doing the things that he's called us to do. So either way, we can't lose. And it goes back to that idea that Paul said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. And I don't know about you, Don, I'm going to go on a limb and say this. Right now, I think this very moment in history, you know, inauguration and everything, this is the most incredible time to be alive as a Christian.
It really is. And I'm glad you said that, James, because my whole message is that too. Let's go on the offense. We're not on the defense. We're not hiding in a cave. We're not eating freeze-dried food and living out, you know, someplace just hoping things will end. We got to be salt and light. We need to get involved. We need to engage people. We're not afraid because we have a message of light and truth. And you're right. When people start seeing how dark it's going to be with all the draconian measures that are going to be put into place here, that life is, boy, life didn't used to be like that. Well, it's not going to be like that anymore with these people in place. They're going to want to hear truth, and we're going to want to hear the message. So it's interesting, you know, as we know, as things get darker and as things get worse, the message of Christ shines brighter. And that's why everyone out there that's listening to our voices really needs to trust God, to depend on him, to realize it's a time to be salt and light, to spread the gospel. Even though the situation is not what we wanted it to be, we're still here. We're here by God's grace. We are not here by accident. We are here for such a time as this, to be his people in this world. And like you said, James, and I agree, he's allowed us to live at a time. To me, it's the most exciting time in history because we're seeing the stage being set all around us for the second coming of Christ, preceded by the rapture of the church. And things that are happening, as you and I know now, so quickly, that are literally, you know, mind-boggling. And so, no, I'm really excited. I'm encouraged by all of this because the Lord is working, and it's a blessing that we're here to be part of it. So, but we need to play a part, and we're playing a part by getting involved, by being engaged, not just sitting on the sidelines. And so that's really the message I have, to encourage people to be that salt and that light, and to tell the people the good news, because there's still good news. God's still on the throne. There's still a God in heaven. Jesus Christ is alive, and he's got a life for you and a life for me.
Amen and amen to that, bro. And look, I got to say, that's what we're supposed to be. I was talking to somebody the other day. I was at a dinner with a bunch of pastors at a specific church, and we were talking about, you know, the condition of our nation and where things are going. And I look back on the earlier time in our country where education was something that came from the church. Yeah. All of the forms of welfare that existed from the church. The church had a say in virtually everything. And I think that what's happened is we've sort of gotten lazy and we've conceded all of that to the world. And some of us have gotten lazy and conceded it to the world by simply saying, well, Jesus Christ is coming back soon anyway, so who cares? Let's just let it all go to hell and it's all going to be bad. But the reality of it is we know that because Jesus Christ is coming back for us, that he's going to rapture us at any moment now, that's all the more reason why we should be getting out there. And I think that one of the greatest examples of this is you. And I just laughed when you said it. I had to laugh. I had the microphone muted, but I was laughing when you said it. You know, you said, well, I wasn't lazy. Well, I almost lost my life. I was on my back. I could barely breathe, but yet I wrote two more books. How many people can say that? right? But I think that that comes from a work ethic and a mind that says, even when I'm down and out, I'm in the worst place. Listen, I'm going to keep swinging. I'm going to work really, really hard. And actually, this is funny, and I know I might get beat up for saying this, but a lot of these people who are very, very angry about the president not being elected. Listen, I understand because of the thiefing that went on, right? Because the election was in essence stolen. I get that, right? But here's the thing that I think is so staggeringly true. And that is the fact a lot of people now have not only gotten angry, but now they're saying, I give up. I'm not going to vote. I don't care about any of this stuff. I'm not getting involved again. I'm just going to retreat. And the reason why they're doing that is because they felt like they didn't have to do any work when the president got reelected. Oh, he gets reelected. I don't have to do any work. I don't have to worry because everything is in good hands. Well, that's the same erroneous mindset that got us here in the first place. And perhaps the most important thing we have to understand is no matter how bad or good things look, we are supposed to put our hands to the plow and not look back and not be lazy. We are supposed to get out there and do more than we ever had. And actually, to be honest with you, forgive me for saying this, but Don, if you kind of wanted to go the easier route, then you would say, oh, well, I'll just continue on his channel. You know, yes, you do a lot of research on your own. You're doing 3, 4, 5 hours of research for every show, but you just go up and you'd have the cameras take care of you and you have all this stuff. Now you're deciding, no, now you're doubling down. You're saying, I'm going to do triple the amount of work. And on top of that, I'm going to be managing my own technology. And I mean, you're going to have help along the way, but you're choosing to work harder, not work lighter. And a lot of people in your position would say, oh no, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm riding off into the sunset. And you're not doing that. Why? Because the Spirit of God is inspiring you to live the way that you're living right now.
Yeah, I'm very excited about the future, James. And like you said, bingo, we've got to get involved. This is a time where we can't sit on the sidelines, expect someone else to do it. God is calling each of us to be his ambassador. So, I'm thrilled about that possibility. And I'm going to be working more than ever. But good news is I'm working from home. I don't have to drive 20 round trips a month and spend 3 hours on the road and in a studio. So I'll have more time here to record, to do things. And hopefully you and I will do more things together too. And so we just get the key is getting the gospel out, telling people the good news. Because, man, if there's ever a time with all this going on in the world, with the COVID shutdowns and all that worldwide, if they ever need good news, it's now, James, isn't it? And we got the good news.
It's so exciting, bro. And we've got the new podcast studio that's being built here at the church. That studio is designed to do remote interviews with you via video. So it's going to be awesome. We're going to be doing these live broadcasts, every a couple times, maybe a week, where we're going to bring some news related to Bible prophecy and things that are going on and just get people's eyes to be opened and talk about some of the things that are going on. And we should all be thrilled about that because, listen, Jesus is coming soon. And the more we begin to tune into that very fact, I think the more it's going to change our lives with respect to how we live it. And man, there's great things around the corner. So anyway, Don, listen, we got about a minute left. Any last final thoughts you want to throw out to everybody before I close it down for us?
Yeah, again, I just want to thank the Lord for his grace, his goodness, and his grace, I guess, of keeping me alive and allowing me to do this. And so I'm doubling down. And I think everybody now may be a good time to kind of evaluate your own life at this particular time. Because you said with the inauguration, new president, things are going to change and not for the better. But the gospel's getting out and it's going to be brighter in that sense. So just use this time. Use your life. Use every moment to glorify God. And that's the message I have to give.
Amen to that. And as we turn it up, I know that the Lord is going to do a work. I hope and pray that we in this nation face this amazing spiritual awakening. I bet you the evil that we're going to see in Washington is going to accelerate that awakening. And God is going to do an amazing work through the saints here in the United States of America and all over the world. So it's pretty exciting. So listen, Don, I'm so thankful, bro, that you could be here with us. And folks, we love it when you listen to us and you give us feedback. What a blessing. We want to just take a moment to thank you for the fact that you're taking us on your jogs, you're listening to us in your living rooms, in your cars, you're downloading our audio files and playing them back. It's extraordinarily humbling. We're so blessed by it. And by the way, can I just tell you how good it's going to feel to make this statement? Here it is. It feels so good to say this. On behalf of the great Don Stewart, this is James Cadiz thanking you for listening to us as we count down to eternity. God bless you.
Been listening to Countdown to Eternity with Pastors James Cadiz and Don Stewart. It's great to have Don Packett in the saddle again. And we're excited about the future here at Countdown to Eternity. Tell your friends and family about us and how they can listen at CountdownToEternity.com. Countdown, the number two, Eternity.com. It's also available by podcast, wherever you like to listen to your favorite podcasts. As you heard a moment ago, Don Stewart is about to release a couple of new books. Look for them soon at EducatingOurWorld.com. And there are many other books you can access right now. Download a few for free at EducatingOurWorld.com. For daily prophecy updates, join us on social media. Look for us on Facebook and Instagram. Follow Countdown to Eternity, Educating Our World, and James Cadiz. And then subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're at Calvary Chapel Signal Hill. Your financial and prayerful support really means a lot to us. With your help, we're able to deliver God's good news in a world full of bad news. People need hope, and you're helping us to bring just that. Donations can be made at CountdownToEternity.com. We'd also welcome your feedback. Maybe you'd like to send Don or James a message or share a prayer request. You can do that at CountdownToEternity.com. That's all the time we have for today, but come back next week as we count down to eternity with James Cadiz and Don Stewart. This program is brought to you each week by Calvary Chapel, Signal Hill.